Just as I am without one plea.
Good morning from your friends and neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. The Rock Creek Church of Christ is glad to share this program with you. We hope it will help you as you seek to know God and what His will is for your life. On our program, we've been talking about the life and ministry of Jesus. On our last program, we left off with one of Jesus' great invitations. He said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow after me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will find it. If you want to be found, you must be lost. If you desire to have eternal life, then you must lose your life here upon earth." Following after Jesus means denying your wants, your desires, and living for someone other than yourself, living for the Lord, or living for the good of other people. This is the essence of the Christian living sacrifice. It's what it means to take up your cross and follow after the Lord. He goes on to say in verse number 36 of Mark chapter 8, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" These are important statements, important questions that help us understand that there is nothing we can do to save ourselves. There is no amount of money, no amount of land, no amount of material possessions that can ever purchase our salvation. There's nothing that we can give in exchange for the salvation of our soul. Even if the whole world was something that we could give back to God, it would be a gift far too small. In order to come to the Lord, we must recognize our utter helplessness, how we are destitute, how we are beggars in His eyes, how in need we are of the death of Jesus Christ. And it's only with that realization, this attitude that Jesus calls being poor in spirit, it's only with that that we are able to begin our journey with Jesus Christ. A warning closes the 8th chapter of Mark. Jesus says, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." And he said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power." We live in a difficult time in American history. For the first time in all of our nation's esteemed history, it is becoming less popular to be a follower of Jesus Christ. In past generations, there was a respect for the Word of God, and there was a general belief in the existence of God and in the existence of Jesus Christ. But those days are, at least for the present, gone. And so this warning about being ashamed of Jesus is particularly relevant for us in our day and age. If we're not willing to confess our belief in Jesus, if we're not willing to live our life with boldness, letting people know what we believe and who we believe in, then we cannot expect Jesus to claim us on that final day. Jesus goes on to promise his disciples that some of them would not taste death until they saw the kingdom of God present with power. As we look at Scripture, the kingdom of God has a couple of different meanings. The kingdom of God can refer to heaven, where God dwells. But the kingdom of God can also refer to the people of God here on earth. I believe the kingdom of God refers to the church. And as we see in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, when Peter first stood up and testified that Jesus, the Messiah, had been crucified and raised from the dead, this was the day that the church began. In fact, there in Acts chapter 2, Luke talks about how God added to the church. The church is the kingdom of God, and it was present with power. Remember what happened on that day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was poured out, and the apostles began to speak in tongues for which they had no background. There were 16 different regions of the Roman Empire present that day, and the apostles could speak in every one of those languages. An incredible miracle. A miracle that demonstrated real power. So the death and the resurrection of Jesus and the arrival of the kingdom of God, these two are connected together by the Lord. In the next few verses, we see an incredible display. In verse number 2, after 6 days, Peter, James, and John accompanied Jesus up to a high mountain. They were by themselves. And Mark tells us in verse number 2 that Jesus was transfigured before them. Transfigured just simply means that his appearance was changed. Mark describes him as his clothes became shining, exceedingly white like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. Now again, I believe that Mark received much of his testimony from Peter. And I believe that we're going to see in this passage a little bit of insight on Peter's part. Peter, James, and John saw Elijah and Moses appear and talk with Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here, and let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." So Peter wants to make some tents in which these men can dwell. They can live for a time. And then Mark says in verse number 6, Peter suggested this because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. This is one of the reasons why I believe that Mark probably received much of his information from Peter. Peter and Mark closely labored together. In fact, Peter calls Mark his son. And in verse number 6, we gain a little bit of insight into what Peter was thinking and feeling at that time. And that's one of the things that leads me to believe that Peter had influence over Mark's gospel account. That Peter was able to add these little details about what he was thinking or feeling at the time. And as Mark tells us, Peter had no idea what to do. All he knew was that he was seeing Jesus, whom he had known for years, talking with the great prophet and lawgiver Moses, and the great prophet and miracle worker of the Old Testament, Elijah. At that moment, when Peter suggests that they make 3 tabernacles, a cloud comes and overshadows them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus with themselves. This was a significant event, because this was one of only a handful of times when God the Father testified from heaven about his Son, Jesus Christ. And he is telling these 3 men, Peter, James, and John, to listen to Jesus. Now remember, who else is present? Well, it's Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. Don't listen to Moses. Don't listen to Elijah. You need to hear Jesus. Hear him. Later in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter reflects back on this experience. And this was one of the experiences that as he looked back, he could confirm who Jesus was. God was testifying as to the identity of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, when they came down from the mountain, he commanded them that they should tell no one the things they had seen till the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So this was something that Peter, James, and John were to keep to themselves until Jesus until after Jesus' resurrection. So they kept this word to themselves, questioning what the rising from the dead meant. Here's another little insight, because Peter, James, and John weren't talking about this among themselves, but they were all thinking, what does this mean? What did this event symbolize? And they asked him, saying, why do the scribes say Elijah must come first? Then he answered and told them, indeed, Elijah is coming first and restores all things. And how is it written concerning the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be treated with contempt? But I say to you that Elijah has also come, and they did to him whatever they wished, as it was written of him. And we find out from other passages that Elijah, the Elijah to come, was in fact John the Baptizer. And this is the one to whom Jesus is referring. They did to him whatever they wished. What happened to John the Baptizer? Well, he was put to death on the whim of Herodias, the unlawful wife of Herod. They did to him whatever they wished. Elijah had come. The prophecy had been fulfilled. And I can understand why Peter, James, and John would be saying this. They saw Elijah there with Jesus. So that prophecy and all the teachings that they'd heard concerning that prophecy and seeing Elijah standing before them, also hearing the crowds wonder if this Jesus of Nazareth was the Elijah to come, all of this factors in. Jesus tells them that Elijah has come, and they did whatever they wanted to him. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him, and asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Now we're nearly out of time, so we're not going to have the opportunity to get into this particular miracle on this session. What we're going to find out, though, is that the apostles, even though they had been given power, their power to heal, their power to cast out demons, still required a measure of faith on their part. And we'll see here in this passage how crucial belief was for the performing of miracles.
As we draw this week's lesson to a close, your neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ want you to know that God commands everyone to repent. We all desire to do wrong things, and we all succumb to temptation from time to time. But God does not want us to continue living in sin. Instead, He wants us to leave those sinful habits behind. And so He commands us to repent, to turn away from sin and to turn toward righteousness. If you know you need to live better, but you need help changing your life, please visit us at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. Our church building sits 2 miles south of Walmart on Highway 59. We meet at 10 a.m. on Sundays for a Bible study, 11 a.m. for worship, and then again at 1:45 p.m. for a Bible study. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Please join us as we worship God, encourage one another, and learn more about God's will for our lives.